The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability. Today's AgriTalk is just more proof that 2019, yeah, it's one weird year. For the first time ever, the Wyffels Corn Strategies event has moved inside. And we're along for the move at the Event Center right here in Worthington, Minnesota.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, Chip is coming to you live from spacious Minnesota. That's thanks to Wyffels Hybrid, where we'll chat with Elaine Freeze from Seeds of Encouragement, Wyffels agronomist Bren Tharp, and Minnesota farmer Matt McCarthy. Then Lowell Catlett from New Mexico State University. And right after the news, the ladies are utterly fired up to hear from Mike Opperman from Farm Journal's Milk. From the offices of Pro Farmer, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorrie.
Oh, Davis, it's good to talk to you here this morning, man.
Yeah,
I tell you
buddy.
What, it is a beautiful day in southwest Minnesota.
All right.
It is a bit like we talked about yesterday on the show. It's a bit of a surprise. This is a different setup for mm-hmm. Wyffels Corn Strategy. For those of you familiar with the event, you know that it is normally held on a host farm with lots of plots that are available to look at, and it's mm-hmm. all held under a big tent. Well,
right.
They had that big tent up on Tuesday morning, and along with some of the corn here in southwest Minnesota, the tent went down. So here we are at the Worthington Event Center. But you know what? It's really impressive how quickly everybody here switched gears and made sure that the event was up and running and looking very familiar to those of us that are familiar mm-hmm. with the Corn Strategies event from Wyffels. So, yeah, it's good stuff. And they got another great lineup up here. We're going to bring a lot of it to you today.
Okay, great. Boy, the weather just keeps patting us around, doesn't it?
Yeah. Davis, the drive over here.
Yeah.
The drive over here. When I get on stage here at the event in just a little bit, the one thing I'm going to ask them is, you know, did you guys forget the fields are square? The fields are supposed to be rectangular, straight edges, mm-hmm. because I've never seen so many jagged edges and empty holes and everything. This rivals 2013 for those kinds of conditions here in southern Minnesota. And a lot of shoulder-high corn, Davis, surprised me, the amount of shoulder-high corn that we've got up here. Yeah. All right, buddy, let's get to the news.
Yeah, lots to get to here. USDA reports U.S. corn and soybean condition ratings remain near longtime lows as both crops struggle amid difficult weather conditions. USDA said as of Sunday, 35% of corn was silking, with 54% rated good to excellent. Both benchmarks are well below average. 40% of the national soybean crop is blooming, and 54% of the soybeans are rated good to excellent. The agency also reported 69% of the winter wheat crop is harvested, 92% of the spring wheat crop is headed, and 66% of U.S. pasture and rangeland is rated good to excellent, marking a 2% decline from last week. Chip.
Right. Okay. One thing. Watch for the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour podcast that's coming out on AgWeb and the AgriTalk app later today. We've got some details on those numbers. And keep track of what's going on up north in the spring wheat tour from the Wheat Quality Council. Those guys are going through that wheat crop right now.
Well, Thomas Wirth from USDA's Risk Management Agency told a group of ag economists in Atlanta on Monday that prevent plant acreage in the U.S. could swell to as much as 15 to 20 million acres. The Risk Management Agency has been issuing weekly projections of prevent plant acreage overseen by NASS. The official numbers will be updated in the August 12 crop production report. And Chip, 15 million is a number that Pro Farmer put out last week, as I recall in the newsletter.
Yep. You know, maybe this is all in an effort to be more transparent with the numbers that they've got coming in. But mm-hmm. at the same time, Davis, when we've got the guys from the Risk Management Agency, you know, 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, they were talking to Jim Wiesmeyer about what those numbers were. This week, they're out with another number at 15 to 20 million. This is a more free flow of that kind of information from RMA than I've ever seen.
Right, and I like it. The United Kingdom has made an appeal to the European Union to form a joint naval envoy to ensure safe shipping through the Strait of Hormuz. According to a Reuters report, UK Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt told Parliament, quote, "We will now seek to put together a European-led maritime protection mission to support safe passage of both crew and cargo in this vital region." Tehran maintains the seizure of a British oil tanker was justified, saying the vessel had turned off its signal and passed through the wrong channel. In a related story, Iranian state television has shown images of what it claims are CIA operatives, saying in the past year they have apprehended 17 spies, claiming to have sentenced one of the detainees to death. Tensions continue to rise as President Trump has said the 2015 nuclear deal negotiated by the Obama administration does not go far enough to curb Iran's nuclear ambitions. Continues to heat up over there, brother.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And when we are starting to talk about some executions with all of this, Davis,
yeah,
that's a different level. That is a different level of conflict. And we don't want to see that happen.
Lawmakers in Washington have reached a budget deal that will increase U.S. government spending by $320 billion, increasing both domestic and military spending. This was partially offset by $75 billion in spending cuts. If the agreed-upon budget is enacted ahead of the August congressional recess, the agreement could avert an autumn default crisis and postpone the next round of budget negotiations until after the 2020 election. And finally, the South China Morning Post has announced a face-to-face meeting between U.S. and Chinese negotiators could likely take place at the end of this month. This as more Chinese companies are reportedly asking for exemptions to purchase U.S. ag products, Chip. Does that mean these substantial purchases are coming?
If we're doing a face-to-face at the end of this month, then obviously there's some progress being made. But, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Where are we now? Fool me seven times.
Yeah, what's the
times.
One for four or five?
Yeah. It's shame on all of us.
Right.
So, I guess it's that time. The girls are calling. Let's bring him in, Mike Opperman. Thank you, Davis.
Let's bring
in Mike Opperman, the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. How you doing today, Mike?
Hey, I'm good, Chip. How are you?
Good. Had the milk production report out yesterday. What did it tell us?
We're still flat on production. Last year we were cruising about 1.2, 1.8% every month. Since February of this year, we've been plus 0.5% or down 0.5%, seems like every month. So we're cruising pretty flat on production. The real kicker is we're down quite considerably on cow numbers. Across the U.S., we're down about 91,000 head from last year, which is a lot. Top 24 states, we're down about 62,000 from last year. So in production per cow, we're only up about 15 pounds per cow from a year ago. So it's kind of offsetting. Those things are kind of offsetting, and it's keeping our production pretty flat. It's good for prices moving forward. We'll see what happens.
Okay, but flat milk production, that's not going to do anything to hurt our price, is it?
No, I don't think so. It certainly is. You know, inventories have held pretty tight, demand continues to be strong. So, you know, if we go back to our econ days at good old Iowa State, you know, supply and demand, that should keep our prices pretty steady at least through the end of the year.
Gotcha. Was there anything else in that report that really caught your eye?
You know, I think the biggest thing was just cow numbers, and I've even talked to a few experts that those cow number deficits might be a little low, so it could be higher than what USDA is saying.
Interesting. Off 91,000 cows from a year ago, but production is up 15 pounds per cow, keeping our production flat. That's interesting stuff. Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week. Say goodbye, girls. Hello? There they are. All right, we are live at the Wiffles Corn Strategies event up in Worthington. We'll be right back in a moment.
With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about pre-season planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture.
Built over generations, the dairy is what gets you up in the morning and sometimes keeps you up at night. To say you're invested is an understatement. Merck Animal Health Brands have a 50-year history of providing the products dairy herds need to stay healthy. With innovation, passion, and integrity, we'll do what's right for your operation and for you. This is why Merck Animal Health works. Visit MAHcattle.com to see how Merck Animal Health can work for you.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We are live in Worthington, Minnesota at the Whipples Hybrids Corn Strategies 2019. Thank you so much for making it possible for us to come up here and bring you some coverage from Corn Strategies. You know what? Let's go ahead and have this industry spotlight. Joining us now is Wade Anderson. Wade is the Whipples regional manager up here. And Wade, you had to be so excited. Here we go. The Corn Strategies is coming to Minnesota for the first time. We're in your district. Everything is all set up. You guys busted your butt on Friday to get ready, and the wind came in on Saturday and kind of messed things up.
It was a sobering event. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time coming. I found out about it midwinter. It was coming, and I was excited. I mean, I was the first Minnesota DSM, first Minnesota region manager. It's kind of like the we've arrived, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we busted. We worked hard. We had a great host this year. David Hibman was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anything we needed, he was there, widening driveways, laying rock, whatever we needed.
He was doing it.
He was doing it.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff.
Tremendously good. And, you know, Dave was the third customer I ever signed when I moved up here.
Yep.
So he's been with us a long time. But, yeah, you know, there were storms coming in the forecast, but they weren't as significant in the forecast as what they ended up being.
Right.
Obviously, when you have everything set up like we did, I was up at 2:30. Okay, what do we got?
Yeah.
You know, and it was clear. And I woke up again at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, there's something coming here.
Yep.
And about 7:30, I'm like, yeah, this is real. And it rolled in, and it built as it came. And, you know, when I arrived at the site at about 9:27, to be exact,
yeah,
I was like, oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it was flat. There was nothing left. The tallest thing standing at that point was a generator.
Yeah.
You know, so it was mad scramble mode, you know, but typical of the Wiffles family. We had made the decision between Mitch and I and leadership that this thing was going to happen one way or the other. You know, we were fortunate that the event center was open.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
There were so many things going through your head at that point. You're just like, boy, where are we going to go?
Yep.
You know, so Tyler was great. We got in here about noon yesterday. And Army got it all set up, and away we go. Here we are.
Yeah. You know what? I want to bring Elaine into the conversation here real quick. I want to talk more about some damage that is being done, but I think this is a perfect time to bring you into the conversation, Elaine. It's Elaine Fraze. Elaine Fraze, Seeds of Encouragement. 2019, Elaine, Wade is not the only one that has faced challenges like this, but it weighs on you.
Right, and when you look at what keeps farm families strong and resilient, the research in Canada called What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger. So congratulations, Wade.
Yep, you made it through another one.
You pulled the team together. You identified, okay, we don't have a site now for corn strategies. What's our plan B? And the plan B was to pull together, see what the opportunities were, and create solutions. And that's exactly what you did. And this is actually, I'm from up north, so I would love to be out in the sunshine, but being here with 500 farmers in a facility that accommodates everything is a fantastic plan B. So, sometimes we have to deal with the tough issues, and we have to have tough conversations about creating solutions. So Wiffield's done that beautifully. They've got a beautiful space here and a beautiful event.
Absolutely. Now, damage to the corn crop around here. What did you experience on Saturday?
It's been pretty varied. Phone calls come in from anywhere where entire fields are flat. There's nothing standing. You know, the biggest question we have this time of the year is it green snap or is it just root lodging?
Yeah,
you know, root lodging, we're, because of the delayed planting, the other curveball of the year, you know, we should be in the middle of pollination right now.
Right.
But luckily, with the delayed planting, a lot of the pollination wasn't happening yet. So the gooseneck stuff come back up.
You can still get some root growth that's going to help it out.
It's going to be a pain to combine, but there's going to be corn, you know. So now is a lot of the determination is it, you know, what percentage green snap? You know, is it 10%? Is it 20%? You know, what's going to come back up? You know, so it's, there's going to be a lot of tough fields walked here in the next couple weeks.
Yep. The lateness of the crop, I think that is so important here, Wade, because coming across on 90, you get 15 miles east of here, and you really start to see, when you're seeing prevent plan on both sides of Highway 90, you realize that something has gone wrong. But further to the east, a lot of shoulder high corn, a lot of corn that's still weak, maybe 10 days away from shooting a tassel.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys in southern Minnesota have gotten used to growing 220, 230 bushel corn. You shorten up the season like this on them, and it's going to be tough to do this year.
It's going to be tough, and I think their part of it is, you know, our planting window opened up. I think the first corn we put in was end of April. The last corn we put in was about the 8th of June.
Yep.
You know, so tremendously huge. Yep. But we got to the point where farmers were, okay, I got to get a crop in the ground.
Right.
You know, so one of our bigger worries at this point is that we dry out. Right? As terrible as that sounds, we dry out with the compaction we had planting this crop.
Yep.
There could be some pretty serious issues coming for us. You know, but she continues to rain.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
So
that's right.
So there is decent yield potential out there, and corn naturally shortens up its growing cycle.
Sure.
You know, so we don't need an early frost. You know, that's the
right.
Killer. If we can get a normal frost date, we're still going to have decent corn. No, it's not going to be 230s, 240s, 250s, but you know there's going to be a decent corn crop out
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Wade, thank you so much for coming over and talking with us, and great job pulling it together and doing what you had to do.
Thank you.
All right, that is Wade Anderson. He is the regional manager for Wiffles Hybrids up here in southwest Minnesota. Elaine, it's more of 2019.
Tough issues.
The tough challenges that that people are facing all over. What are you going to tell the group here today?
Well, my topic is called Discuss the Undiscussable, which is my metaphor for the bull in the middle of the room. So any tough issue, and Wiffle is wanting me to do more around the transition planning and the big questions that need to be asked. But I also have served in Manitoba as a farm debt mediator when farmers are going through tough economic times. We're seed growers as well. Our farm is up in southwestern Manitoba. We got our crop in, and my husband loves to grow corn because he loves to watch it grow. So there's lots of unknown factors, but it really comes down to clarity of expectations, which is, you know, how are we economically, of course, as a farm family. So the folks listening to this right now, I just really encourage you to sit down at the table and say, what's working, what's not working?
Yep.
What do we need to talk about? What are the timelines we're looking at? What's our risk management strategy? And I'm really big on conflict being a risk management strategy. So when you've got tension growing in the family, you attack the issue, not the person, and you create solutions, and you take the other person's perspective, and you reach out. And this is a great organization. They really care about their corn growers. They care about success, and they care and about the whole farm.
That starts right at the top with Bill.
Right.
He wants that. He wants everybody to be successful out there using
and
his
profitable
product. Profitable.
Right.
Yes, exactly. So, discussing the undiscussable. When I was looking at your website, Elaine, you talk about all the things that people don't want to talk about.
Right. That's why they call me the Dr.
How
Phil
do you
for farmers.
Even get these conversations started?
Well, I have the gift of helping men release a lot of emotion. So I say sometimes I let men cry in my presence, and that's okay. So this morning in the hour that I have with the farmers here, my goal is to just to get them to know that it's okay to talk about what's really deep inside, and in terms of clarity of expectations, what are the timelines for getting this done, and then how are we going to put it into action? And I've been doing this work with farm families now for 40 years, and I've been a certified coach for 15, and it's really about communication. And talking is the work. And I'm sure you've met Dr. David Cole from Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
So his research shows that the families that can actually talk on a regular basis and have those business meetings are 21% more profitable. So corn's going to be tough this year. They're not going to get the yields they want. But they can still be profitable by focusing and executing. And I'm a farm family founder, too. Our son's 30. I have a daughter-in-law, two grandbabies. We're all farming together. And we know to be resilient, we have to talk things out.
Yeah. Yeah. Davis back in the studio in Cedar Falls knows this for a fact. Davis, what do we say all the time? Don't go dark on people that can help you, right?
Exactly.
That's absolutely right. And I love that. Yeah. Focus and execute. Focus and execute. I actually say that to my kids, too, when they get nervous or having anxiety. Focus and execute. Mm-hmm. It sounds simple, but it's not easy to do.
Well, it's a good business term, right? It's a good mantra to have.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. And you do have to look at people. You've got to use people as partners.
Yes. Not build your team.
Build your team. You've got to build your team around you. And
it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, not that long ago, we did a show on mental health.
Yes.
And people still are coming up and saying thank you for doing that.
And I will give my story here too today.
Yeah.
We all have a story and we all need to share it.
Exactly. We really do. Well, thank you so much for making time, coming over and talking with us, Elaine.
Good. And find me at farmfamilycoach.com. We've got heaps of tools to help farmers have better lives.
Farmfamilycoach.com. Yeah, I went to the site. You guys, if you want to figure out how to start the conversations that are important to start, check out the site. Elaine's got it handled there. All right. Thank you so much, Elaine. That is Elaine Froese with Seeds of Encouragement here at Wiffle's Corn Strategy.
Wiffle's Hybrids may be the number one independent seed corn brand in the Corn Belt, but it's come to our attention that there's still confusion about how to pronounce our name. So we thought we'd create this handy-dandy radio spot to help clear things up a little bit.
In Illinois, it's pronounced Wiffles. In Iowa, they say Wiffles.
We're not too picky about how you pronounce it. We just want you to plant it. Wiffles hybrids, quite possibly the best hybrids you can buy.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, how you doing, buddy? What's going on with this corn trade today?
Well, we were higher overnight, got to the daytime session, backed off. Currently, December corn is poking back above unchanged. So, it's kind of all over the place. Directionless trade, I would guess you would describe it as.
Yeah, beans trade higher in the overnight as well, didn't they? And now they're backing off.
They're struggling a little bit here. They're off the lows, but they're down 3, 4, or 5 cents in most of the contracts. So it's been more of a struggle in soybeans and corn, and actually soybeans let us down and pulled corn lower earlier on. So we'll see if the reverse can happen, and maybe corn can catch a bid here and pull beans off their lows even further.
Gotcha. Okay. That would be nice to see. Lean hog market is showing some strength again today.
It is. The cold storage report yesterday was somewhat disappointing from pork stock standpoint. But I tell you what, the cash hog market was absolutely on fire yesterday with strong gains there. Ooh. The pork cutout was also sharply higher. And, I think there's still some hopes out there that China's going to come in and take up a bunch of U.S. pork. And as a result, we're seeing moderate to strong gains across the board this morning. The only concern really there is the big premiums that the futures hold to the cash index. So we need to see more gains like we saw yesterday in the cash market moving forward.
Okay, yeah, and our slaughter numbers are backing off a little bit.
Yeah, and they should. I mean, some of the year-over-year comparisons, I mean, there's little nuances in there that influences that. But, it's something that where we should see those numbers back up.
Gotcha. Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Company.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Machinery Pete's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerypete.com/auction.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We are live in Worthington, Minnesota at the Wiffles Hybrids Corn Strategies 2019. Let's go ahead and start this industry spotlight. Joining us now is Bruce Howison. He is Wiffles VP of Marketing and Sales. Bruce, thank you so much for making time for us.
Hey, so glad to be here. What a great day in Worthington.
Yeah. And what a darn good year for Wiffles, as I understand.
Wow, it's been a real adventure. You know, yeah. We came into the spring thinking things were going to go well. We'd have a wide open planting window, and then May happened to us right across the central Corn Belt. Lots of farmers challenged with getting the crop in, but, you know, when we're said and done, we feel pretty good about it. We think about 92% of the corn acres went in across the central Corn Belt. Someday, hopefully, the markets will reflect that.
And
we got more than our fair share of that business, so real pleased.
That there's rumbling every year about who's picking up share, who's losing share, and everything. And the rumble this year is around Wiffles. I mean, there's no denying that.
Thank you for that. Yeah, we're really pleased where our numbers are ending up and how farmers have shown confidence in Wiffles and planted more this year than ever before.
What's making that happen?
Well, you know, we're an independently owned, family-owned business. Have been for 74 years. So we take a real long view to the business and work alongside our customers very closely. We invest in people, having them in the field next to our customers, helping them through the decision process and growing a great crop of corn.
All right. So what's the plan for the future? Keep this thing growing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We think we're pretty passionate about corn, and that's all we do. We sell corn seed, and we like to help farmers grow more corn. And we think we can bring a lot of value to a lot more growers than we do business with today.
Very good. Very good. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Bruce Howison, Wiffles VP of Marketing and Sales. And, you know, let's continue the conversation with the guys from Wiffles. We've got Brent Tharp with us now. He's agronomist. With Wiffles. And you're out of Illinois.
I'm out of the Geneseo home office, but cover our whole marketing area.
Gotcha. And we've also got Dave Ringkob with us. Dave is a farmer here in southwest Minnesota over in Jackson County, just a little bit east of here, right?
That is correct.
You know, that Jackson County area is about when it starts, we started seeing a whole lot more prevent plant between there and here.
We've got a considerable amount. Prevented planted acres being sown to oats or cover crop yet. So
and that's just more of what 2019 is. And the thing is, Brent, have you seen it where it has been from South Dakota to Ohio, and we've had producers dealing with the same issues like this in the same year?
Yeah, I've been in the industry here, seed industry, for 19 years, and I've talked to guys that's been in it a lot longer than that, and this is a historic event that we had. I mean, just the widespread area.
Yeah. So how do you figure out how this crop is? Help me out here. How do you figure out what this crop is going to do? What are some of the things that we need to consider? Because so much of this crop was planted in June, Brent.
Yeah, Chip, there's a lot of moving parts to this crop. And if I talk about that corn crop and the bean crop too, but it's not a one-size-fits-all this year. You're going to have to take a field-by-field judgment and go out there and assess those stands, the uniformity. We got to remember that's an important equation, number of plants out there, the number of wet holes, and then part of the management decision, especially in these areas that have the PP, is we've got to think about the insurance gain, you know.
Right. it's got to be part of the decision-making process, what it's going to do to your insurance coverage going forward.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. 2013, we had a lot of prevent plant in northern Iowa, southern Minnesota. Do you remember that year, Dave? I mean, it sure feels like we're even a touch behind what we were in 2013.
I would agree. I was definitely farming then. Looking today, heat units, we've gained some. I mean, most of the year, in our geography, we've been running about 100 heat units behind. The last 10, 12 days, we've had perfect weather. I mean, capturing the maximum. We're still slightly behind.
Yep.
Getting back to the June plantings.
Yeah.
Here's the irony of that. Last Friday, we were blessed with a 70-mile-an-hour wind. Well, guess which corn took it? The established corn did very well. The June-planted corn, vulnerable, growing fast. So another fly in the ointment on our related planting.
Good grief. Now, Brent, when they, as the planting season drug on, they started going shorter and shorter season, right? Will that hybrid adjust for a shorter season too?
Yeah, all hybrids adjust to the shorter season, especially a June planting. And I did some GDU calculations, and if we stay on the trend for a June planted crop, we can finish the earlier season hybrids by October 15th, but we just got to manage for a wet crop. Now, if we have an earlier than normal frost, then that's going to wreak havoc.
Dave, you'd love to make it to October 15th without a frost up here.
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Normal first frost date around here is like October 2nd or something like that. You're going to have crop that's vulnerable to damage of a normal first frost is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we had on the Farmer Forum, had Vic Miller on from Olwine, Iowa. He described it as Northeast Iowa as a garden spot.
Yeah.
But then he said, listen, you know, it looks as good as it does anywhere in the country, but we're still going to be off 40, 50 bushels from what we have been the last 3-4 years. Why is that? It's just the lateness of the crop? Shortening up the kernel fill?
Yeah.
Okay.
So whenever you have a June or a later planted crop, what we talked about that crop adjusts, and where it adjusts is in that grain fill period. Yeah. It just shortens that up.
Yeah, that is unfortunate because that's when we need to gain our weight. And when we're not gaining our weight,
that's
we're not
right.
gaining our yield. I believe it was just yesterday I got a Wiffles Between the Rows mm-hmm. talking about some southern rust. What's the story?
Yeah, so it's moving up. Hurricane Barry kind of blew up north. And they've spotted southern rust in very southern Illinois, okay? It's just something that with the delayed crop, it's more susceptible, you know, as far as southern rust moves in.
What does it do?
Basically, it moves in, and once it gets established, if the weather's right, it'll just spread aggressively. And it covers the leaves with those rust pustules, and it basically
prevents it from gathering energy.
It decreases photosynthesis. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a big problem yet, but what's your prevention?
You just got to scout, and then if you see it, spray it.
Spray it. Hit it with fungicides.
Yep.
In this area, the last few years on Crop Tour, Dave, we've been seeing more and more of the gray leaf spot kind of creeping into the area. Any sign of that yet?
I haven't seen much yet, no.
Okay.
No.
All right. Good. Good, because that earlier plant, the stuff that did get planted early, and I assume that you did have some corn that got planted in that May 15-16 period.
You're spot on, yeah.
Right.
15th to the 17th, a lot of corn went in the ground in
right.
our geography.
Yeah, and that's the stuff around here that it looks like it's got a chance. The June planted stuff that's still shoulder high, I don't know, Dave. Mm-hmm.
You know, with the corn rally, you're seeing the numbers change. The added nitrogen, the Y dropping,
okay.
that's picked up significantly. I mean, in my eyes, producers, farmers are seeing the value. They recoup that they've got confidence
okay.
it can finish out.
You know, that's part of the risk, isn't it, Brent? Guys just deciding, hell, I ain't going to spend any more money on this thing.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, again, I would take with the market so the way they are and the way I think they should go. Right,
yeah,
Chip?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at those fields, and if those fields have potential, good yield potential, there's uniformity in them, I'd still invest in them because, you know, our research has shown that fungicides pay off.
Yeah, yeah. It's a race. I get it. It's mm-hmm. a race. But doggone, if we're already shortening up the kernel fill period, mm-hmm. You don't want the heat after pollination.
Mm-hmm.
You want to stretch it out. The best thing that we could get is an extra 2 weeks on the end of the growing season.
Oh, we need a warm, we need a hot September.
A hot. You're willing to go for above normal temperature.
Absolutely, in September.
Okay, so we're going to go for the above normal temperature.
If I have moisture.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, and that is a risk that is starting to develop in some areas over there in the Eastern Belt.
There are some areas. There in Geneseo, our last rainfall, I believe, is July 4th. So.
Yeah, it's the same as in Eastern Iowa. Yeah. Now, you guys up here, Dave, you just kind of keep getting the rains.
We're sitting well.
Last week, didn't you get 3 unexpected rains?
We did.
Yeah. Yeah. Good grief. It has been one of those years.
Yep.
It really has been. So now if we can just continue to spoon feed that some moisture to that crop out east, hopefully it'll come along. Which state scares you the most right now, Brent?
Well, Iowa's in a lot better shape than Illinois.
Yep.
And southern Minnesota is, well, right here in southwest Minnesota, just driving across on 90 reminded me of going across 80 in Illinois.
Oh, really?
I mean, just a lot of shorter cornfields, a lot of PP acres out there. And as I get in the southwest corner.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It reminded me of that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that those conditions carry right on over into South Dakota.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it has been one of those years. Dave, good luck finishing up this year. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, that is Dave Ringkob. He is from Alpha, Minnesota, over in Jackson County. I'll be going right up through Jackson third week of August on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour again. So I always go through about time for breakfast if you're interested.
Perfect.
We'll be getting
it's good to know.
We'll be getting a cup of coffee. And Brent Thorpe, agronomist for Whipple's Hybrids. All right, we are at the Whipple's Corn Strategies 2019 up in Worthington, Minnesota. We've got quite the character coming up next. Lowell Catlett, New Mexico State University, right here on AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are at the Wiffles High Bridge Corn Strategies 2019 up in Worthington, Minnesota, at the event center. And Davis, it's too bad that we're not out under the tent out at the Hibma Farms, but hey, the guys at Wiffles have done a great job of turning a bad situation into the best thing that they could possibly do, and we're here at the event center in Worthington, and it's been a really good meeting so far. And I tell you what, you know, the emotion of it all is pretty evident up here. The struggles that the guys have gone through with putting the crop in the ground, the struggles that they continue to go through with the crop that is growing. And And, you know, like Dave was just talking about, Dave Ringkob was just talking about, good grief, you went ahead and you decided I'm gonna stick with corn, and I'm going to stick some June-planted corn in the ground, even though I'm in Minnesota. And then Saturday along comes an 80-mile-an-hour wind, and that's where the damage shows up.
Yeah, we don't need that kind of setback. Just once we get it up and out of the ground and feeling like, maybe we can do okay here.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right, hey, just so everybody knows, we're just trying to find Lowell. We'll find him exactly when we can, and when if we do find it before the end of the show, he'll stop in here for a second. The other attitude that I'm picking up from growers that I talked with before the show started and before Lowell got on stage, and it was interesting. I got a chance to sit in the room and hear Lowell's presentation. And guys, if you haven't had a chance to take a look at last week's Pro Farmer newsletter, page 4, talking about how, you know, we faced all these challenges. And farmers, along with technology and management and equipment and effort and willpower, met so many of the challenges that we have, that we were faced with. And not only that, challenges that the quote unquote experts figured would take 30 years to overcome, we did it in 10. We did it in 10. And when I was listening to Lowell talk this morning about how things have changed, he focused on the moonwalk and how things have changed since 1969. In 1969, the average U.S. family was spending 15% of their disposable income on food, and they were eating out once every 2 weeks. Now we spend about 10% of our disposable income on food, and we eat out on average every other night. That's on average. You know, I hear that and I think to myself, there's no way that I eat out every other night on average. I might eat out 2-3 times a week, a month. Okay. But
I'm offset by people that eat out not just once a day, not just twice a day, but three times a day.
Each meal. Yep.
Each meal. Exactly. So every other meal basically is consumed away from home. And but we're still, as consumers, spending less here in the U.S. than on food than what we did in 1969. It's really incredible. And then he went to the efficiency gains. 1969, average corn yield in the United States, about 75 bushels an acre. Now we're at 175 bushels an acre. So 150% increase in productivity there. You look at what the average steer does when it gets put in the feedlot, how much faster it gets to market weight, and how much more cuttable meat it has on it than it did in 1969. And for gosh sakes, think about how the hog has changed. And how much more cuttable meat. How much more of that hog compared to 1969 that we actually get in the meat case now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they do it on less feed.
Yep.
You know, it is all just amazing how agriculture has advanced as quickly as it has to overcome many of the challenges that the quote-unquote experts figured would take 30 years to overcome, and here we've done it in about 10. Jeff Wilson wrote that page four in last week's Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson, and he got done with it, and I just told him flat out, I'm going to steal it. I'm going to use it as much as I can because it was that good. It really was. And then to hear the confirmation of that kind of a message here from a guy the caliber of Lowell Catlett from New Mexico State up on stage here at Wiffle's Corn Strategies, I thought that was really interesting how there was so much so much connection between what Jeff had and what Lowell's message was up there on the stage. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Hey, sounds like a great day up there at Wiffle's.
Yeah. And I'm going to get on the stage here in just in a couple hours, I guess.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. And one of the first things I'm going to tell the guys here, number one, we're going to talk about squaring these fields back up because I've never seen so many jagged lines on field edges with all the prevent plant up here as I've seen this year. But we're also going to talk about the tweet from President Trump this morning. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. No.
All right. Well, it's really something. Farmers are starting to do a. I can't hardly even read it. Wow. Okay. Farmers are starting to do great again after 15 years of a downward spiral.
Okay.
Really? 15 years of a downward spiral. The golden era of agriculture took place in the last 15 years. And we're talking about the downward spiral that over the last 15 years.
He's talking about the United States?
Yes. Yeah. And he continues on. The $16 billion China replacement money didn't exactly hurt. Well, you know, you guys know how I am. I'm a supporter. He's got to get some of these things done. But the messaging is very frustrating sometimes, Davis. And talking about 15 years of a downward spiral and how farmers are starting to do great again, that's a little frustrating. But we're going to talk more about that. Once I get on stage here up in Worthington, we'll talk a little bit more about it this afternoon as well when we have a conversation with Matt Widboom. Matt is a farmer and a farm broadcaster here in Worthington, Minnesota.
All right.
And we're also going to talk with Dan Utek from New Vision Co-op. That's this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, it's a Farmer Forum, guys.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business? An entrepreneur. Who researches markets? An economist. And who handles employees? An HR manager. Someone who keeps devices up to date, a software technician. Someone who does business internationally, a global trader. Someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next, an estate planner. And someone who does all these things, you call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, We're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.